We call on your Holy Spirit to come and fill us. Without you, we are thirsty, we are dry. And with you, we have life. And we thrive and we flourish. And Father, we pray this morning that each heart that's represented here would surrender and submit. And Father, may that water rush in and encourage us and strengthen us in you. And I pray, Father, that you would give us discernment to take in what your word would have for us this morning. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated.
A little bit of sleight of hand with two coins. It's a copper coin, English penny, half dollar. Take a look at this. Pretty amazing. Watch this. Two coins, two hands. Keep one eye on the coins, one eye on my hands, one eye on me. Take a look. Here it goes. Watch. One coin into the pocket. Did you see it go? Maybe I went too slow for you. Look, I'll do it again. Look, we have two coins, a silver coin and a copper coin. I'll try it again. Take a look. Watch. One coin. There it goes into the pocket. Oh, you weren't watching. No problem. Look, we'll do it again. Take a look. Watch. One more time. Silver coin, copper coin. I go as slow as possible. Take a look. Take a look. Do you see it? Do you see it? Take a look. There it is. Nothing over here. Must be over there. Sure it is. Watch one more time. Take a look. Watch. There it is. Take one coin out. You saw which one it was. How many coins in the hand? I hate these questions. Never mind. I'll show you the other trick later. Cool, huh?
All right. Anytime you see a quote-unquote magic trick, you often ask the question, how did they do that, right? How in the world? We all know that it didn't disappear and reappear, right? But we know that there is a trick to it. There's something about it. How did they do that? You know, when you were a kid, your mom taught you, don't believe everything you're told. Don't even believe everything you see. Don't be so gullible. And we learn that and we understand that when we see a magic trick. We know that there's some trick to it. Some way in which they misdirected what you looked at and so on. But we say, how did they do that? But you know, when it comes to religion, it seems like people tend to be very gullible. In fact, when it becomes the most sensational kind of stuff, people want to believe it. And as we're going to talk about here today, people say, you know, I saw it on TV, a certain televangelist, man, they did it, and it was just like, wow, and it had to be real. So our take-home thought today, as you take your notes out of your worship folder, excuse me, is simply, there are certain things you ought not believe. Did you see the title of the message? Hopefully it kind of caught your attention. The importance of unbelief. There are certain things you ought not believe. 1 John chapter 4. Look at verse 1, 1 John chapter 4. We're continuing our series through the book of 1 John. And in the book of 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, do not believe every spirit. When we have the scripture, it's we often call it in theology, we call it the canon of scripture. Now, we're not talking about the canons that we sang about earlier. They go, make a loud noise. We're talking about the standard of the word of God. A canon is a standard of measurement. And so you have the standard of Scripture, the canon of Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. And here we're talking about truth. And the canon of Scripture from Genesis to Revelation was not yet complete when John was writing. There were first century Christians. And boy, I tell you, when Christianity came on the scene and it was growing like wildfire, there were people who wanted to kind of get in on the plan. They kind of wanted to get on the excitement and start their own kinds of things. And so they had false teachers that came in. They started teaching their own ideas. They started teaching the sensational. And people were tempted to go after it. We need to understand that he was telling the readers to beware. So that's our encouragement to you even here today. You need to beware of what's out there. Not all that sounds good is truth. There are many false prophets. There were many false prophets then. There are many false prophets even today. They have a new stand on Scripture. So stop believing everything and start testing the spirits. Now, you might say, well, I've heard that all truth is God's truth. Yes, all truth is God's truth. But we need a standard by which we measure truth. And I want to encourage you that the Word of God, the Bible, is that standard. If you hear something, you need to be saying, does it line up with the Word of God? Even when you hear me today, you need to say, okay, does it line up with the Word of God? And that's what we want to look at. You need to be discerning of spiritual truth. So if you're not already there, take your Bibles, turn to 1 John chapter 4. We're looking at verses 1 through 6. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. We're going to be looking at three distinguishing factors of God's truth. Follow as I read. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you recognize the Spirit of God. Here it is. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Amen? All right, look at verse 5. They, the false teachers, are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. And whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Here's the first distinguishing factor of God's truth, and that is right doctrine. You hear somebody out there, and you need to be asking yourself, is it right doctrine? Are they teaching the true Word of God? Does it line up with the Scriptures? And sometimes they take the Scriptures and they twist the Scriptures. But when you look at right doctrine, you need to make sure you have right doctrine based on this passage, especially concerning Jesus Christ. You see that in verse 2? This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. All right, he's telling you right here. This is how you can tell if someone is preaching truth. This is they have to at least get this right. And that is, every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Now, that phrase is packed with a lot of significant truth right there. So let's take a look at it. An accurate translation, and I believe the intent of that, is that every spirit that acknowledges Jesus is the Christ come in the flesh. This recognition is not, or confession is not, a mere acknowledgement of his existence or identity. One commentator put it this way: a profession of faith in him openly and boldly as the incarnate Word is what is at stake here. To profess faith in him openly and boldly as the incarnate Word, the incarnate Lord. To confess that Jesus has come in the flesh. That's what incarnate means. Okay? That means that God became man. Jesus is 100% God, 100% man. He wasn't a man who just kind of had God in him. He was 100% God, 100% man. You can read about that in Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 5. Jesus is God come in the flesh. That is significant in that the virgin birth is essential to your faith. You see, the sin nature is passed through man, whereas by one man, Adam, Romans 5:12, sin entered into the world, and so death passed upon all men for all, or because all have sinned. We sin because we're sinners, and it comes through the man. That's why the virgin birth, that's why Jesus being virgin born is so essential, because he was pure, holy God and did not have the sin nature. God became man in the flesh. Again, it's significant. It tells us in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. And that's what this passage here, this verse is saying. There is no other Christ. There is no other Jesus who is God who became man to provide salvation for those who would believe. There's a lot in that verse, in that phrase. There is no other. Some people might say, well, man, you guys are pretty dogmatic. Why is that? Well, it's because that's what the Bible says. The Bible, again, Acts 4:12 is the passage that says there's no other way to heaven. And so James 2:19 says that the demons believe in Jesus, but they shudder. They believe that he existed. In an interview by Larry King, John MacArthur several years ago said this: various religions and cults acknowledge the existence of Jesus, but not the significance of Jesus. Okay? So if someone says, I believe in Jesus too, they might believe in the existence of Jesus, but not the significance of Jesus. Let's talk about that. Years ago, when we lived in Fort Wayne, we had an older home, and it had bad windows. And the whole time I lived there, we lived in that house for about 7 years, and it was like, man, I really want to get some new windows, man. I mean, the wind would come through the windows, and they were just so bad. I mean, that was back when I had hair, you could part your hair, you know. And it was just, we just really needed and wanted new windows. So I saw an ad, and it was a replacement window company, and it said, house full of windows, $1,050. I thought, hot dog, man. So I dialed the phone. I said, hey, you know, I hear you do windows, and I'd like to talk to you about replacement windows. And they said, well, how did you hear about us? And I said, through your ad, house full of windows for $1,050. And they said, well, how many windows do you have? I said, 24. Well, if you read in the ad there, it said certain restrictions apply. There was a bait and switch. You see, they sucked me in with the ad. Oh, we'd be glad to come out and give you a quote for all your windows. I said, well, you know, no, if you can't do what your ad said, then no. And see, that's what happens oftentimes with the cults. In one article I read, found that following information. Oftentimes, dangerous religious groups, DRGs, okay? If I say DRGs, you know what I'm talking about. Dangerous religious groups. Oftentimes, DRGs use a bait and switch technique. What you first see and hear is not necessarily what you get. When it comes to the cult, here are kinds of the switches that you read or that you get with DRGs. The first one is from Christ to another. It's a bait and switch. They'll come to your door. And you think, oh, man, you know, and they, you know, they look real sharp, and they have materials, and they have a little satchel or whatever it is, or maybe it's in the mall. And they start talking to you, and you suspect that they're a cult. And you say, well, I'll tell you what. I just want you to know that I believe in Jesus and that I'm a Christian. So I really don't want to hear what you have to say. Oh, well, we believe in Jesus too. And we're Christian too. I'm telling you, if you haven't heard it, you'll probably hear that. Oh, we believe that Jesus was, oh man, just an awesome, awesome prophet. Just a wonderful teacher. And so, but when you start asking real questions about what they truly believe, you realize that they really aren't preaching or teaching or believe in the Jesus of the Bible. And that can be very confusing, because you might say, well, you know, our pastor was just preaching. We looked at a passage here and it said, you know, believe that Jesus is the Christ. And oh, yeah, you know, it just can be so confusing. Don't be surprised. Because DRGs, they will ride on the name and reputation of Jesus And almost all of them will say that they believe in him. Again, they acknowledge the existence of Jesus, but not the significance of Jesus. Remember, here's another passage. Keep your finger here and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 15. It's just a great passage for this. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 to 15. Speaking of those who deceive, for such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising then if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve. They have false doctrine. They teach they're false prophets. Here are some important truths about Jesus that the Bible teaches, all right? Some important truths. If you don't hear these things, see, it's not always what they say, it's what they don't say. You see? And so they'll say, oh, I believe in Jesus, but here are some things that they don't believe. All right? Or they may not teach. And first of all, it might be Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. John 1, Jesus Christ, it talks about, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, speaking of Jesus. God in the flesh. We also see that he's virgin born. We already talked about that. That Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He's the image of the invisible God. You see that in Colossians chapter 1. You also see it in Hebrews chapter 1. He's the exact representation. He is God who became man. He's our creator. See that in Colossians 1:16, but also our sustainer. By him, everything holds together. He keeps things working. So he's not only creator, he's sustainer. He's our Savior. He's our judge. He's our example. So what the cults or dangerous religious groups do is they take this Jesus and they substitute him for something else. So be careful. Beware. Verse 3 here says, those that don't acknowledge, those that don't make a profession of faith that Jesus is God come in the flesh to save those who confess are the spirit of the Antichrist, which is already here. They take the Word of God, and these are some other bait and switches, okay, from Christ to another. They take the Word of God and either add to it or replace it with the Word of men. They'll say, well, we believe in the Bible. The Bible's really, really good. But, you know, Jesus was so wonderful, and he said so many wonderful things that the Bible could not possibly contain everything that Jesus said. So we now have other books that have more of what Jesus said. And so they add to it. Be careful. It's bait and switch. Oh, the Bible's great, but there's more. And it sounds so reasonable. They go from faith to presumption, from leadership to tyranny. You get this strong, charismatic leader that's up there and so eloquent and never clears his throat like Pastor Dale does, or, you know, does, his throat doesn't get all tight. He's just a powerful speaker, and he's just wonderful. And he's just so eloquent. And it goes from that powerful leadership to tyranny, not listening to the Word of God, but also these other things that the leader says you must do. From separation to isolation. That happens oftentimes in cults. You know, we're told to come out from the world and be separate in the sense of we don't practice all the things that we see going on around in the world. But the Scripture indicates that we're in the world, but not of the world. You know, we have to live in the world, so we're not so much isolated as insulated, it's been said. You know, we want to be careful as we live in this world. We want to guard our hearts, we want to guard our minds, we want to guard our eyes, our actions, so as not to drift into the ways of the world. That's what 1 John is encouraging here. The whole book. How we are different. We are different from the world. But then the DRGs or the cults, they'll say, okay, we're going to isolate. We have to isolate you from. And so then they start living in communes and so on and take it to that extreme. They take salvation and they encourage a false trust. Those that don't acknowledge that Jesus is God come in the flesh to save those who confess are the spirit of the Antichrist. It is already here. It's setting, that's the spirit, the attitude of the Antichrist, and it's setting the stage for the Antichrist who will be here after the church is raptured or taken away. The Antichrist. The Annotated Bible says, anything which denies the full glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, which in any way just detracts from His glory, is the spirit of the Antichrist. So again, it's not only what they teach, but what they don't teach. So be careful. So what about your doctrine? What do you believe? And how has it made a difference in your life? Especially concerning Jesus. And as you think of your relationship with the Lord Jesus, and you have that here in 1 John, it's really interesting to think of all these evidences of a believer. And we talked about righteousness, living righteously. It shows that you are a child of God. You show love toward others. It shows that you are a child of God. And then there's this warning to beware of the false teachers out there. And he's saying, all right, here you have this doctrine, faith in Jesus Christ that is making a difference. Beware, don't be led astray. Is your faith, is your doctrine, what you believe, making a difference in how you live? It's a point of examination, isn't it? Well, let's look at another distinguishing factor. It's not just right doctrine, but look at verse 4. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Second distinguishing factor of God's truth is separation. But we have to talk about what that is in light of this passage. Separation from what? And make sure we're talking about it rightly. He says here, you have, and the tense is, you have already overcome them, speaking of the false prophets. They have not, he's saying here, they have not succeeded in deceiving you. That's an evidence of a believer. You haven't been deceived. You're staying faithful to sound doctrine. Because of the power that is in you. What is the power in you? The Holy Spirit of God. And when you have the Holy Spirit of God, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Wow. Praise God for that power. And you can overcome. The overcome here indicates permanent victory. Remaining strong and true. You have that through Jesus Christ here. It's not a hope-so thing. The pronouns here are emphatic. Us and them. You versus them. You see, ecumenism is dangerous because the idea becomes, well, we're all striving to go to the same place, and sincerity of belief is more important than what you believe. Have you heard that before? Well, you know, man, it's hard to argue with them because they're so sincere in what they believe. Let me ask you this. Does it matter? It doesn't. If I said this, what would you think? It doesn't matter what your doctor believes as long as he's sincere. Doesn't matter what your doctor believes about whatever is wrong with you, as long as he's sincere. You know, that can be really dangerous, right? You got this severe ache or pain or sore or wound or whatever. It's no big deal. Don't worry about it. You know? Is that the kind of doctor you want? Or as long as they're a sincere doctor, you can go to the witch doctor. He's sincere about what he believes, about whatever's ailing you. Some crack doctor, whatever. You know, as long we wouldn't accept that in the physical realm. Don't accept it in the spiritual realm. Sincerity doesn't matter, right? Oh, People say, well, join the church of your choice. Is that really? No, it shouldn't be join the church of your choice. Join a church that stands firm on the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are people out there who say, well, we're all God's children. Well, we are God's children in the sense that we've all been created by God, but not everybody is a child of God. That's what the scripture teaches. So when you hear that, beware. Beware. The strength of the DRGs is powerful. The strength of the cults is powerful. They want to suck you in. They want to the terms often used, brainwash you into believing what they want you to believe. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So the bait and switch of the cults goes from separation to isolation. Yes, we're to separate from the ways of the world. In this situation, we're to separate from the false teachers. But what they then say is go from separation to isolation. I want to encourage you, don't make any apology for the truth. You stand for the truth. Stand for the truth of God's word. Some people might say we're narrow-minded, we're intolerant. And there are many ways in which we are. Because of what the Bible says. Now, we don't have to be belligerent about it, right? We don't have to be nasty about it. We can be kind to say, well, no, the Bible says there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. The Bible doesn't say that as long as you're sincere, all paths lead to God. It doesn't matter what religion you are or what you believe. No, that's not what the Bible says. You see? It does matter what you believe and what you believe about Jesus. Stand true. Stand true. Realize that you have the truth of and about Christ and don't back down. Look at verses 5 and 6, a final distinguishing factor here. And that is, they are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world and the world listens to them. We are from God and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Here's the third distinguishing factor, and that is devotion. Devotion. Who do they listen to? Who are you listening to? It says there in verse 6, this is how to recognize truth and error. Now, it's interesting because here you have John. He is writing 1 John, but he also wrote the book of John, the longer book. All right? And in John chapter 10, we want to look at verses 27 to 30. In fact, if you're taking notes, put down verse 1 through 30. But we're going to look at verses 27 to 30, okay? John chapter 10, verses 27 to 30. Listen to this. How do you recognize, here's the question, how do you recognize truth from error? John 10, 27. My sheep listen to my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. And we often look at that passage as, wow, that is a great security passage. And when you trust Christ as Savior, you are secure because you're in Jesus' hands and you're in God the Father's hands. You are secure. Wow! And that's a great truth that we can learn from that passage. But as we look at this and talking about, okay, truth, how can we tell truth from error? And that is sheep know the shepherd. Sheep know their shepherd. This is how you know truth from falsehood. Beware of the bandwagon of the world. You know, hey, come join us, and it's the latest, greatest thing out there, you know, and everybody jumps on the bandwagon. Just this last, it's been about a month or so ago, I had someone tell me about this really kind of neat program, and I was like, wow, I've never heard of that before. And oh man, it's the latest, greatest thing, and it's been all over the world. And I thought, okay, man, it. And I was talking with this person. They were telling me all about it, and I said, I'm sorry, I'm kind of skeptical, but I just want to be careful. Oh, I understand. And so after talking for a while, I got on the internet and I started doing some research and started realizing, you know what? Here's what they're teaching. Here's what they're saying. And this is what they're saying about Jesus and the Holy Spirit. But I started getting concerned because there were certain things that I wasn't seeing that they weren't teaching. I just started raising some red flags. And I said, you know what? I'll tell you what. I'm just going to set that aside. And there are other things that I can pour my heart and life into. So these kinds of things happen. They come your way. I just want to caution you. It says there in verse 6, again, emphatic pronouns here. We are from God. And whoever knows God listens to us. Who's the we and the us here? I believe it's the apostles. John was an apostle. He was writing the word of God. He was teaching scriptural truth. And now we can take and we can apply it to us as believers who know the truth and as we perpetuate truth. But here he's talking about, I believe, himself as an apostle. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. When I was in high school, I worked at an apple orchard. And I started out picking apples from the trees and so on. They told me the proper way to pick an apple. And so, did you know there's a proper way to pick an apple? You start picking apples, leave the stem on. They last longer. Okay? That's just one little thing. You pick an apple by pulling it. Anyway. And so I was excelling as an apple picker. And evidently they recognized that. And they said, you know what? We want you to come into the grading room. And so I kind of looked at it as a promotion. I probably wasn't, but at least I didn't have to pick apples in all the cold weather. But anyway, I was in the grading room, and they started teaching me how to grade the apples. And they had firsts, seconds, and then they had throwaways. And so they had the conveyor belt. They had the big bin, and they'd dump the bin in there, and they'd come along with the conveyor belt, and we'd stand around, and we'd look at the apples. And if there were any blemishes, any bruises, no stems, they went into another pile. We had to be discerning about that which was right. And I want to encourage you as we close here this morning, that is, if it doesn't check out with the scriptures, then chuck it. If it doesn't check out, chuck it. If it doesn't ring true, if it's like, that something's missing here, something's not right, investigate. But when you realize it's not lining up with the Word of God, get rid of it. Get rid of it. John Stott said this in his commentary. He says, you can recognize God's Word because God's people listen to it, just as you recognize God's people because they listen to God's Word. I think that's pretty good. Check it out. Not just the message, but even the character. In fact, sometimes that's what you see is the character of those who are perpetuating their message. Look at their character. Has it made a difference? And those who are listening, has it made a difference in their lives? But the most important thing is it, does it line up with the Word of God? You know, Satan's a divider. He's a destroyer. Christ unites people in love. I want to encourage you to be a student of the Word of God. Don't just say, okay, I got to read my Bible every day. Check. I got that done. All right, now I'm going to just go the rest of my day. Don't read it like it's a chore to just make sure you get it done. Read it to find out what God has for you. To learn so that you can take what he has and learn, be a learner, not so much as to pass Bible quizzes. Learn so that you can learn what God, how God wants you to live in light of what you have learned, and show that Jesus truly does make a difference. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I bow before you now. Thank you for your word. Your word is truth. And thank you, as we talk about 1 John being a book of assurance, that because of your word, we can have the assurance of salvation. And I pray, Father, that each one would hold to your truth, that we can have confidence in you, and in that your word works in our lives to make a difference. Help us to have that confident assurance from you, your word, and the power of the Spirit in us. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, are you certain of salvation through Jesus Christ? You have a card from the pew in front of you, and I'm going to encourage everyone to fill out that card. And on that card, you can jot down how God may have spoken to you through his word. And maybe you're here, you might say, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm a child of God. And I have questions. If it's personal, if it's private, just check. There's a little box that says for pastors only. And just check that. And we'll be praying for you, or we'll get with you on these matters. It may be a matter of just learning the importance of getting into the Word of God and studying the Word of God and handling it correctly. You don't make God's Word say what you want it to say, but handle it correctly. And if you need help with that, we want to help you with that. We have resources, and we can give you some direction on that. Just jot that down. And we're going to take an offering here in just a moment, and you can just put your card in the offering basket. For those who are faithful, regular attenders, we encourage you to continue to support the ministry. Isn't it wonderful that we have a ministry that perpetuates truth? And that's worth supporting. That's worth getting behind.